Hello everyone, I'm Peng Gao from Princeton University. I'm very glad to be here to present our work on enabling efficient attack investigation to enhance system security. This work was done in collaboration with Professor Xu Shengxiao from Case Western Reserve University, Professor Feng Yuanxu from Nanjing University, and colleagues from NEC Laboratories America. And my research advisors are Professor Sanjeev Kulkarni and Professor Pratik Mittal. Today, computer systems are widely deployed to manage the business in the industry and the government. Ensuring the correct functioning of these systems is critical to the execution of the business. However, recently we got more and more breaking news about cyber attacks. The damages inflicted by these attacks are very severe, becoming more and more severe. For example here, the Equifax data breach happened in last year has exposed the sensitive personal information of 143 million US customers. Besides, many other well-protected large businesses suffer from great financial losses due to these advanced attacks. For example, Yahoo, acquisition of Yahoo by Verizon Communications has discounted its valuation by around $350 million because of its disclosed two data breaches in late 2016. So these advanced attacks, namely advanced persistent threat or APT attacks, has unique properties. These attacks leverage sophisticated techniques to exploit multiple vulnerabilities in the system, involving multiple attack steps. Besides, due to the strong economical or political motives, adversaries are continuously monitoring the system and trying to steal data from the target. Here is a typical setup scenario for the APT attack. Suppose here we have the attacker and here we have the enterprise environment. The goal of the attack is to steal data from the database in the environment. However, there is no way to directly access to the database because of its protection mechanisms. Therefore, to achieve this goal, the attacker usually first conducts an initial compromise of the system by propagating some malware through the gateway to an internal host in the system. And then the attacker may try to trick the internal machine to using some social engineering techniques to execute this malware so that a backdoor will be opened for the attacker. By using the backdoor, the attacker can enter this internal machine and then escalate his privilege to run some database credential tools to obtain the database credentials. By using these database credentials, the attacker can eventually penetrate into the database server and then drop another malware to create another backdoor, and then dumps the data and sends the data dump back to his external host. That is the so-called data exfiltration. As you can see, these APT attacks consist of multiple steps involving multiple vulnerabilities. And also, individual steps may not be suspicious enough to trigger the alerts. These unique properties pose significant challenges for the existing point-based detection and perimeter defenses. To recover the entire attack sequence and also to clean up the damage after the attack. So recognizing the complexity of the APT attack, what we need is a solution that can monitor every behavior happening in the system, and also that we can connect these behaviors to investigate or to recover the attack sequence. This leads to the idea of system monitoring. Ubiquitous system monitoring collects information about system logs, about system calls from kernels. The logs produced have a unified structure, which is not bound to specific applications. Actually, the system audit logs contains information about how applications interact with system resources, such as processes, files, and network connections, in the form of system events. Using the audit logs produced by system monitoring, we are able to log the footprint of the attacker. Then the next step is that how can we recover the attack? Here we propose to leverage interactive query. That is, we can the security analyst can investigate the attack by interactively and iteratively querying the data. So in order to build a system that enables interactive querying, we have to address two challenges. The first is the attack behavior specification. Basically, the system should provide a query language that has specialized the construct to express a broad set of attacks. So here we propose three types of attack. The multi-step attack, which specifies the multiple system activities as well as their relationships. The dependency tracking of the attack requires specialized constructs to chain the activities together to perform attack causality analysis. And also the frequency-based behavior models are widely used in building some behavior, abnormal system behavior models to detect the network specs. These behavior models require specialized constructs to specify sliding windows and also statistical aggregation methods. This is a challenge on the language design side. Also, we have to solve this big data challenge. The problem is that usually the system audit logs or system monitoring data produced is very huge. For example, for a typical enterprise or lab environment that consists of 100 hosts, the amount of data will be roughly 50 gigabytes per day. And also recall that the APT attack usually spans for a very long time, from 0.5 years to up to 1 year. Therefore, we have to capture this entire time span length of data. And this poses a great challenge for designing efficient data storage and also designing the efficient query execution engine. Recognizing the limitations in existing systems, here we propose our system, AIQL, which is a novel query system that supports efficient, that enables efficient attack investigation via interactively query the system monitoring data. Our AIQL system consists of three components. The data collection and storage part, we build monitoring agents based on existing monitoring tools and deploy these agents on every host in the enterprise. The agents will continuously collect system monitoring data from the host and send the data to the central storage. In the central data storage, we leverage the domain data characteristics to enhance, to enable some domain-specific optimizations. Second, our system provides a domain-specific language, attack investigation query language, which supports the specification of a broad set of attack behaviors in a very concise and expressive way. And third, to further speed up the query execution, we build our query execution engine based on the domain-specific characteristics of the data and of the query. Next, I will go over each part. So in the data collection and the storage part, we build data collection agents based on existing monitoring tools. We use ETW for Windows system, we use ODD for Linux, and we use Dtrace for Mac. And these monitoring agents will collect very useful attributes or information about system entities and activities for security analysis. So here, the upper table is the representative attributes of the system entities. For example, for the files, we collect the file name, the owner group, the volume or data ID. And for the process, we collect the PID, the process executable name, and the binary signature or the command line input. And for the network connection, we collect IP address, source destination IP, and source destination port. And also for the system activities, like the system events, like the file events, the process events, or the network connection events, we collect the also collect several interesting attributes, like the operation type, the timestamp of this event, also the subject ID and the object ID. This is actually our data model. And for the data storage, we choose to leverage existing relational databases. For example, here we use PostgreSQL for the single server storage, and also we leverage GreenPlum for distributed storage. The reason why we use relational database is because of its mature indexing mechanism. Because we want to specify, for example, for the multi-step attack, we have to specify multiple system activities and have to specify their relationships. That is actually the join part. And the relational databases have much better support for joins than other databases such as Graph database or NoSQL database. Still, we have to solve the challenges in handling the high ingestion rate of the system monitoring data. So here we design several data storage optimizations, such as the, for example, for the data deduplication, we store data in separate tables. Basically, we have the file table, the process table, the network connection table for system entities, and also we have the event tables for the system events. That is the data deduplication. And also we use in-memory indexes in together with batch commit to support high write throughput. And also because the system monitoring data exhibit strong time and spatial time and space characteristics, we partition the storage in the time dimension and also in the space dimension. So for example, in our current design, we dump one database per day. Yeah. And also we leverage the hyper table in together with GreenPlum to scale up the storage for large enterprises that consist of hundreds of or thousands of machines. Now let's come to the language design, which is the fun part. So our AIQL language supports the specification of three types of attack behaviors. The first type is actually the core type, the multi-event AI query. So here is a graph of a typical attack that consists of several steps or several activities. So in the first step, the command line will start the OSQL activity to dump the database dump. And then this SQL Server.exe program will write the database content to a dump file. And then this malicious program will read from the data dump and transfer the data dump back to the attacker host. Basically, this is the typical scenario for the data exfiltration. And we can see that in this scenario, we have multiple events, E1, E2, E3, and E4. And also these four events have certain relationships among them. For example here, this E2 and E3 are linked by the same entity, backup1.dmp. And also this E1, E2, E3, E4 exhibit certain temporal order of the events, which means that E1 happens first, then E2, then E3, then E4. So how can we design a language that can incorporate all of these characteristics in a single query? Here is our solution. I will go over the details. First, our language supports the specification of global constraints, which means that all of the event patterns defined afterwards should follow this global constraint. So here, in this example, I specify the time window of all of these events to be a certain day. And also, all of these events should happen on a single host, but you can specify something else. After that, we specify different event patterns in the form of subject, operation, object. That is a typical triple store, actually SVO format, right? So for example here, this P1 starts P2 as an event. After that, we specify the relationships among the events. So here, we use this with clause to specify the temporal relationships among these events. EVT1 happens before EVT2, then before EVT3, then before EVT2. So finally, we return the interested attributes. And also notice that here, we actually implicitly specify the attribute relationship among these two, between these two events. You can notice that there is a file F1. The identifier is F1. And in this event, it is also F1. So if you use the same identifier, then which means that this is the same entity, right? And also we support several syntax shortcuts to to make the specification concise. And also for the dependency AIQL query, which is more concise, we specify, we support this format. So notice that here we actually specify a chain of the system events. And also we have this forward keyword to specify that all of this chain happens from the past to the future. That is actually the forward dependency tracking. And also we have this connect keyword that supports the cross-host dependency tracking. And also for this anomaly data query, we support the specification of sliding windows with the step size, and also the access to the aggregation values, so that you can use this hiving clause to specify something like you compare your current value with the previous value to specify this SMA3 based detection model. And for the execution engine, actually, the execution of the multi-event query has this high-level idea, which is that for every event pattern, we compile it as a SQL data query. And then we have the data query scheduler to schedule the execution of these queries. The reason why we do this is because if we, in a naive way, we'll just translate this entire AIQL query to a large giant SQL query, which is very inefficient due to large number of joins and constraints. Therefore, we do things in this way. And also, we have the domain-specific optimizations here in the data scheduler. So roughly, we have two key high-level ideas about the optimization. The first idea is that we can leverage event relationships to optimize the search. For example, here, we have the two events, right? And the way to do this is that you can notice that this first event is a fail event. The second one is also a fail event. But the first one has some constraints here. Then you can execute the first one, get the results for F1, then use the results to constrain the search of the second event. That is the relationship-based scheduling. The second idea is to leverage the spatial and temporal partitioning of the data to enable the parallel search. We have the time window partition here. For example, for this query, which is 1 day, then we can partition the 1 day time window into 4 subqueries. For one subquery will account for the maybe 6 hours. Then we can execute these queries in parallel. And a more advanced partitioning mechanism will be partitioning the time window not in a uniform way, but based on the workload, in a uniform workload way. And I will show a case study to demonstrate how can we use this system to do the investigation. This is the same as the previous setup that I described. So first, we start from the database side. Suppose we have an anomaly detector deployed on the database that can detect the large amount of data transfer to identify this suspicious IP address. And we start investigation from this IP address. First, we compose this anomaly query to investigate which process that accessed this external IP. And we found that this process has a suspicious name, sbblv.exe. And then we start from this sbblv.exe to check which file it accesses. And we found this backup 1.bmp. And then we check the creation process of this backup 1.bmp, and we found that it is this SQL server.exe. We further verify the execution of the OSQL utility. And finally, we compose this entire complete AIQL query for investigating this step C5. Notice the interactive part here. We start from a simple one. We check the results. We revise our query, add more constraints, add more events, and then we finally have this query. So here is the end-to-end efficiency for this case study. So for this case study, for this five-step case study, we have 27 queries touching 119 gigabytes of data. And then we measure the execution time of every query in the AIQL system and compare it with the execution time of Neo4j and PostgreSQL. So the high-level takeaway message here is that as the query becomes more complex, the execution time of Neo4j and PostgreSQL grows exponentially. But for the AIQL query, it is in a steady state. And it takes only 3 minutes to investigate the entire attack. And it is around more than 100 times faster than the other two systems. And also, we measure the conciseness of the queries So here is the high-level takeaway message. The AI query queries is 202.4 more concise than other query languages, such as Neo4j Cipher or Splunk SPL or SQL. And also, we measure the end-to-end. So previously, we measured the end-to-end efficiency. And here, we measure the scheduling efficiency, which is the speed up enabled only by the data query scheduler, not by the optimized data storage. And we found that the AIQR system, the scheduling part in the AIQR system is 40 times faster than the PostgreSQL, and 16 times faster than GreenPlum. So in conclusion, we propose AIQL, which is a system that enables efficient attack investigation from system monitoring data. Our system provides an expressive and concise domain-specific language to specify a broad set of attack behaviors. And also, we propose an efficient query execution engine based on the domain-specific characteristics. And also, we have this group website, project website for you to download the example queries. And also, we have this demo video on this website so that you can check out and see how it goes. Thank you.
Questions?
Hi. Nice talk. Thank you. So a lot of the things that you had to do with your with the backend for the AIQL system is stuff that the complex event processing community has been working on for many years. And this is basically a domain-specific extension from some of their languages and their capabilities. But the thing is, as far as I know, they are struggling very hard with things like time windows, memory grows exponentially. And I'm not sure, like, how did you solve it? As far as I know, they haven't. So, like, if you have a time window and you want A happening after B after C, and that's your query, this can grow exponentially with the size of the window in some ways. What is the memory usage? And have you looked at comparison, like running AIQL on one of their databases of that community?
Okay, thanks for the question. Yeah, this is a very good question. Actually, we have thought about this in another work. So the fundamental difference between this work versus the complex event processing is that this work actually works on the historical data, which means that we store the data in a very large scale in the database, and we do the query. And for the complex event processing, actually, for example, for the ESPER and for the CD framework, actually, they work on the stream data. And we do have another paper published in this year's USENIX Security, which we designed another system to create the system monitoring data in scale in real time. And we compare with CD in terms of the memory usage. So that is the difference here. And also another difference is that, so here for this work, and also our work in USENIX Security, which is that actually we put more focus on the query language design. That is, we want to design an expressive and concise language to specify a broad set of attack behaviors. And we found that if you, for example, if you use SQL to specify this attack, or if you use, for example, the CEP, the CD, to specify the attack, then the queries becomes very large. Then if the queries becomes very large, then it is error prone. It is very hard to write it in the correct way in the first time.
So you're, if I summarize, if I understand correctly, the language is much more efficient for the purpose, the language, and also CP engines are real-time streaming, and here is it's okay to use historical data.
Yeah, so for here, that is actually the database query, and for the CEP, that is the stream query, and our language is more much more concise to use, so that the programmers or the investigators will save a lot of time. Because usually, if you do the attack investigation, you cannot, write everything correctly in the first place. You have to start with a simple query, and then you check the results, and you rewrite the query, and then you add more constraints. That is the interactive part. Then the queries should be very concise to use if you want your job to be effective.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Brandon Lam, IBM. Great talk. So I had a question of some kind of a similar use case in the sense that this problem where I want to identify critical components in the system that, you know, on a measure the risk for bugs in them. So in this case, instead of investigating an existing attack to kind of be able to say, let's hypothesize that there exists a component that has a bug. You know, what's the damage that we can do? And I remember doing some work with this using logic systems, and the issue with them is they didn't really scale once you added all these wildcards in. So I'm just wondering whether maybe, do you think that this is AIQL can be used in this kind of context?
So for here, for now, we typically use AIQL to investigate the existing attack, which means that you have some very vague idea about what happened in your system, and you want to check whether exactly it happens or not. Yeah.
Thank you.